This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengatang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellas with monkey sounds in there and called go.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Oh, Danny and Dusty here on a, checks my phone, Tuesday.
The 25th.
There you go. Thank you. I feel incredibly naked right now. The YouTube audience knows I'm not actually naked. It's more metaphorically because the charger on my watch broke, and I have not had my watch on in, I don't know, 7-8 years.
Welcome to the free wrist side
it's
of America.
Super weird. Don't
See,
like it.
Opposite. I can't wear a watch. I don't like it. It bothers me. I have a couple nice watches that are supposed to be for, like, you know, when you have to dress up type of deal. I never wear them. I hate having my wrist constricted. I don't like it.
I am with you there. When I have like my Nike Tech fleece, and no matter what, you will see me pull it off my wrist.
Right.
It's the middle of my forearm. It's just not there. That right there is the sweet voice of Will Ortner. In for Dusty Hera yet again. Dusty's lost in Mexico. That's what we're doing with here.
He's trying to.
I'm not
going to
mention anything about a cocaine
universe.
Habit this time because it got him. He had people texting him out of nowhere like, "Are you actually okay?" People thought it was surreal.
I love that it, like, that joke has been going on
for a decade,
10 years, 12 years, and every single time people are still like, "Hey man, is everything all right?"
Yeah, like he had people like actually concerned.
I thought it was a joke. Mm-hmm. Like when I was listening, I was like, "Ah, funny joke, ha ha ha." People text Dusty. No one would believe that, and then it's like, "Oh, they actually do."
Yeah,
but I want to go back to that wrist and the watch thing. I think it's a complete generational thing, and I think I'm the line of demarcation.
I would agree with you, except for I wasn't watch guy until I started, because I like wearable tech. I do. I'm one of those geeks that does. Like, I've looked into the Whoop, was it bracelet?
I looked into Whoop.
Like, I like being, like, look, man, it's not a secret. My body is breaking down at a drastic pace, so I like to be aware of things.
Right.
Like, everyone in my family basically has died of cancer, so, like, I'm just trying to...
Yeah.
Fight the good fight, as it were, and monitor as many things as I can monitor. Not worry about things. Like, I check my bank account multiple times a day, which apparently is normal.
You check multiple?
Oh, yeah. At least once guaranteed every day, usually two or three.
Oh, wow. See, I'm like once every other day.
So
now, my credit card, though, I'm every day.
Well,
because I treat my credit card like a debit card.
Oh, okay, like, so you gotta make sure. Yeah,
I'm paying that thing off right away. Yeah. I'm not dealing with it. I don't want any debt. I've never had a loan. I take care of it right away.
We've mentioned this before. I had my identity stolen when I was in the Air Force. Somebody did buy a boat when I was in Afghanistan. A boat.
What kind of boat? Like a cool boat?
Yeah, like a ski boat, wakeboard boat.
Did you get to keep it?
No, I had to fight a bank that will remain nameless, and I will never, ever, 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 ever bank with them for over 6 months and $30,000. They put $50,000 on the card.
Wow.
And then $30,000 in legal fees. I got every bit of it back.
Good.
But my credit was damaged. Again, this is in the early 2000s when identity theft was not common. And so banks basically tried to tell you to go to hell.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah. It was.
So this is the era of, like, the credit card company is coming to the college and, like, you want free money?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's why I now gladly bank with, one of my banks is USAA.
Yeah. I've seen their commercials.
Navy Federal Credit Union, and then I have other stuff through USAA.
The great Sam Elliott.
Yes, and USAA took great, 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 great care of us as we went to Washington, D.C. for Army-Navy game, and I will continue to sing their praises. And if you have somebody in your family that is a military member that has USAA, glom on and leech all of the benefits from it, because they are it's crazy.
Barbecued beef ribs.
Fantastic. It is still weird.
I'm hungry.
I had all of my bank cards all expired at the same time.
Okay.
Was it six months ago, five months ago, November?
Yeah.
November 24. For whatever reason, all three banks that I use, like, normally,
yeah,
all expired November in 24. So everything that I have set up, like all of my bill pay stuff that I've set up on automatic bill pay, or if I've got a login for something, you know, enter a password to have my credit card information put in there for all my stuff, I had to go through and find all of them.
Ooh.
And it was like, oh my God, number one, I use this for far too much. Number two,
password.
I missed my USAA one.
Oh. And
they call you before it goes late because they're not trying to screw you over.
Right, they want to take care of
you. Yeah, they want to take care of me.
I like that.
It's the best customer. Look, I'm not getting paid for this. And sales is probably not happy about me doing this, but I'll do it anyways because they're the best customer service that exists.
Hmm.
When you're talking about services, they're bar none better than anyone. They call me like, hey, just so you know, your card's no longer any good. I was like, oh, my bad. But when they call you by your rank.
Oh, they're like, Lieutenant, what's up?
Sergeant Morang, you know, like, I haven't heard that in 20 years. And it's just like, oh, that's weird to hear.
This is important.
But they still treat you with that level of respect. And even if you're a civilian on the account, it's still very polite and cordial. And it's not a robocall. It just feels normal. But this is a long story anyways. I had to fight through all of this. So I have a real fear at all times of, like, getting my identity stolen.
Well, this makes more sense now, though, because, like, the way you started it off, it was just like, I check my bank account three times a day.
But here's the thing. Whoa. Dusty thought the same thing, and we dug into it, and more people do what I do than don't. It was like 45% check it multiple times a day, I think is what it was. And then the next biggest chunk was, like, once a day, and then the next biggest chunk was once a week, and then the smallest was, like, infrequently.
Well, that's crazy town. I'm not infrequent. I might have been infrequent when I was, like, early college, high school.
Basically, when you become an adult, like, not 18, but, like, when you become, like, when you have actual responsibilities
and
a full-time
job. End of college.
Yeah.
Where, like, hey, it's not your full-time job, but you got a job.
You're responsible for yourself.
You're paying some bills. Yeah. You're probably paying your credit, paying your credit card, you're paying your phone,
you might be on mom and dad's insurance still, but hey.
You might be paying a part of it,
sure.
Right? Or you're paying car, something kind of like that. That's probably where you start checking. I'm probably once a day, like right before I go to bed. Or I guess, like, again, I'm once a day for my credit card because I'm a quick payoff. I treat my credit card because I don't have that high of a balance that I'm allowed. look, I'm young. It is what it is.
It's fair. Look.
It's higher than it was when I was given the card.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm doing pretty good in that sense.
I have one of the scary cards.
Ooh, like, and you got, like, a lot?
Yeah. And it's not a brag. I am incredibly cheap. I don't spend money on anything other than my couple of vices of nicotine and caffeine. But I basically wear like the Nike line of clothing.
Right, right, right.
I like, don't get me wrong, I've got like some nice, you know, one-off top tempos and stuff like that. But I don't really spend money. Now, I used to when I was in the Air Force, but I would pay it off immediately because it's what you do. All of your money is basically expendable income when you're single and in the military.
Right.
But my credit score is incredible. Nice. But it's incredible because of what happened. Right. I was like, I'm going to make sure, like, I have to build this up from out of the mud kind of deal.
I got to make sure it's perfect.
My wife, she went on a cruise with my mother-in-law 2 weeks ago through Mexico, Belize, Honduras, a couple of places. And she's like, hey, can I take the card?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I want her to have it because in case something happens, I know that this thing is going to work anywhere.
We're going to be safe.
But my first thought process was like, I'm letting this card out of my wallet, out of my arm's reach, into foreign countries. And I'm like, God, no, no.
You're doing the like shake as you go to hand it over.
Well, here's the thing.
Like, no.
I go, you can take it and I want you to take it, but I need you to do something for me. And she's like, what? I go, I need you to leave your wedding ring here. Because I'm like, I can't have like two of the most valuable things
in another country.
In another country.
If we lose both of these, it's bad.
Like, there's insurance on the ring and I could get it covered. Maybe it would just be a pain in the butt to take care of. But her wedding ring it's a lot. Okay. I'll just say that. It's a lot. And we're getting travel rings.
Kind of like the workout ring that a lot of football players used to have. Yep.
So, I don't wear my red. If you're watching on YouTube, you see my chain and you'll see my wedding ring on it. I don't wear that because it's cool. I wear it because I've lost a ton of weight. And if you're watching on YouTube right now, I can literally
pop it off.
It doesn't like, and I've had it like fly off my hand in the last 6 months, multiple times. And since six months ago, it was flying off like crazy. So I put it on there and she's like, are you going to do something? I'm like, honestly, I'm so used to it being on my chain now that I tried one of like the polymer rings.
Is that the black ones?
Yeah.
Yeah. The athletic one.
Yeah. And it like dug into my finger. Well, like my finger's all jacked up from when I had it torn up.
Right.
And so it like, I've got a weird bend in it as it were.
There you go. Bends to the left.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's kind of just curved.
There you go.
I mean, it's quite literally like,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
curved.
Yeah. No, there, it's not straight. I'll tell you, maybe this is a me thing, but like I have no bracelets. I don't wear a watch. There's no.
Yeah, you don't
rings.
Have like any adornments. Like, no earrings.
I don't. Nope. There's no earring. Chain. There's no chain.
So you're definitely going like you've got like nipples.
I have. Nope, nothing. I'm very.
You're the ones we need to worry about.
I'm clean, Prince Albert. I was gonna say there's nothing
little
going
jangle.
On. There's nothing going on over here. I got rings. I got five of them, but I don't wear them, and they're not like there wasn't a weird phase in college. It was just like I got rings for football, and so like I have them, but I don't wear them. I don't know. I don't know how that's gonna change for me if and when. I mean, at some point, I'd like to hope I get married. That's gonna be a weird move for me because
it does feel weird.
I'm not I'm not a ring guy. I'm not a bracelet guy. I'm not a watch guy. I'm not a necklace guy. I don't know what's gonna happen.
I wore the small link silver chain as everyone did who was an athlete in my.
You had some puka shell necklaces.
I had the puka shells. Like
love that.
I think my sophomore year high school picture. I've got my earrings in and my puka shell, which looked like a choker damn near. I've done the adornments. It's not a secret here. I mean, not everybody knows, but if you weren't listening one day, but I've had a lot of piercings.
Oh,
Oh yeah.
I know you have your ears.
Yeah, I just put these back in.
Were you a septum guy?
In October. My wife, my 40th birthday, got me these diamond earrings, and she spent far too much money. but I wear them because they're nice, and I like them. Also, I'm going through a midlife crisis, which is why I change my hair every 2 weeks. But I had my you can't really see it because of my facial hair, but under
you had the stud underneath
LeBray.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness!
I had the LeBray pierced in the Air Force.
They let you do that?
No.
I was gonna say I would thought that they would.
I may or may not have come back on base in a passenger seat inebriated at one point in time, and I still had my like the stud.
Still had it in,
and security forces made my life a living hell over that one. he was having a bad day and made mine worse. But typically I had a very small clear plastic stud that didn't have anything on the tip.
So you couldn't see it.
And it was just enough to keep it open because that thing will close in like 2 days.
You almost want it to close though, dude. Can you, is it still like pierced? Like,
no,
you,
it's you closed have, now. No, it's closed. Like it closes immediately.
Okay. Just a tip. Yeah. See, I was going to say, I remember when my brother got his nose pierced and he had his little stud. That is the one time and maybe the one thing that I'm proud of where bullying worked. And I bullied him until he just let it go. It was like, we can't do this.
See, I had the left eyebrow for a little while.
Yeah, eyebrow.
Yeah, well, the eyebrow and the left nipple were both.
No, it wasn't.
They were both.
No.
They were both lost bets.
Lost bets? Uh-huh. You were putting the nipple piercing on the line?
Brother, I put a lot more than that on the line before.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like.
Now I get why you were listening to so much metal.
Yeah. I mean, I had my tongue. That one was.
Yeah, the stud.
Yeah.
Nice.
That one's gone. That one heals up really quick. I didn't like that. It was weird.
Yeah.
Like, you just feel like something. Yeah.
I don't like it when other people have that one. That one looks weird. It's off-putting.
Yeah. No, it was. That was right when I got home. And I just wanted to do something.
Yeah.
I've pierced a lot. Never that. Thank God. I would never, ever, ever go that way. But they're less permanent than tattoos.
Yeah, in a sense.
Well, I mean, they are. I mean, like, I got bored when I was 15, and I took a stud and shoved it through my cartilage. And that one, there's like a little bump on the back of my left ear. I literally just iced it down and shoved it through, which apparently is a really bad idea.
Yeah, well, aren't you supposed to put the potato behind?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it's a potato, but you're supposed to, I think.
I don't know. I just iced it down and took a dull stud and shoved it through.
Hey.
It was bad.
There's a lot of dumb things that people did in high school. Thankfully, I avoided it, but I remember the stick and poke tattoos. I have a ton of buddies from high school that have
three dots.
Oh, yeah.
In their thumb.
Yep.
It's like, oh, no, you went to jail? No.
They got a couple. The other big one was...
I went to detention.
This was in-school suspension.
They do it with like a permanent marker.
Circa 2014. Yeah. No, the other one, too, was branding. I had a bunch of buddies who branded themselves.
Oh, dude, I'm not going to say their names. Three guys that I went to high school with, they took a giant silver cross, like a lot like the one on my chain, but a lot bigger, and they put it on their forearms.
Yes. But they always move. Whenever you brand yourself, they always move.
One of the guys came out okay, like in as far as coming out okay can.
Yeah.
One of them just turned into like a arrowhead shaped blob, and like it got like infected and it was really bad. Like,
yep.
He actually, I think he ended up missing two games.
Yeah.
Of high school football because it was so bad.
That makes sense because most people aren't insane. Like there's always one guy who like can brand himself and it's not an issue.
Yeah, because they're lunatics. It's like the
But then the normal guy does it and instead of getting a cross, you get a spoon.
Yeah. Exactly. Like there's a lot of guys that the fraternity that have the Omega. Yeah, that's
sorry. Yeah. No. The Omega. Like, yep.
And that's usually I had a buddy of mine in the Air Force Doc Holliday. It was a cornerback at Kansas State, was going to go to the NFL, shredded his knee, ended up going to the Air Force. His little brother's Carlisle Holliday, the quarterback at Notre Dame.
Like, okay.
One of the most athletic families I've ever come across my entire life. But Doc had the Omega on his bicep, and it looked good on him because he's a 6'3", incredibly jacked dude.
Right.
But I was like, what did you use? Like, coat hanger.
They just
bend the coat hanger. That way they can, like, it's like the thick metal, not the thin metal, like the thick metal one.
Yeah.
And they just heat that up. And
that's crazy. Because, like, Will Ortner.
You can just take, like calipers.
Yep.
Heat it up and just
stab you with it.
Just basically slam it on you.
Okay. Because, like, young dumb Will Ortner was a big fan of Miles Jack. Miles Jack has the same thing. Yep. And I thought that was so sick. And thankfully, someone was like, hey, dude, you burn your hand grabbing your food bowl out of the microwave because you microwave it for too long.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
On the fan text line, at 18, we used a blow dart to pierce my ears. Not a great idea. Still haven't closed. Blow dart probably would have been a good idea. Like,
As far as high school ideas go.
As far as
go,
like dumb ideas, like it's particularly
could
like.
Be, could it, be worse.
My buddy had a blow dart gun that was like a no doubt blow dart gun. And the needles
it had
on
Gwen
them were
Stefani
like,
on it?
No. But the needle on it was like an inch long and it was sharp as hell.
Yeah.
And the reason we know this is because one of them may or may not have, in a different state of consciousness, shot it into the other guy's butt while he wasn't paying attention. Blow dart to the butt. And it went all the way into the meat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Again, inch long needle. And this is like an 8-gauge needle. It's thick.
Yeah.
And it went when I say it was a real blow dart gun, like the blow dart left, it was going through like an inch of wood.
I can't believe you let him shoot him with that.
He didn't let him.
I can't believe the other guy decided it would be a funny idea.
No. Oh, no. It was a fun back and forth because after he pulled that thing out of his butt, he proceeded to beat the living hell out of him and everybody let him. It's like, you played those games, buddy. That's the prize you're going to win.
Hey, at least we just tased each other. That's what we did.
We still need to get Dusty with that.
It doesn't hurt as bad.
I told Suk, look.
Just pee before.
I told Suk, like, if you ever want to actually make this happen, we can just... It can just happen. We have cameras rolling in here. We can just, like, you know, I'll just have you behind him ready to catch him, and that's where we'll go. All right, let's get things started. The Portland Trailblazers did not play last night, but the play-in hopes may have died just quick, fast, and in a hurry with the actions of two different teams. Danny and Dusty, today, the Fan.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcast.
Blow dart to the butt, all the way into the meat.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Fan text line, interesting is people are turning on their radios in their cars and they hear that exact line and they're like, what am I getting into? Look, it's going to be one of those kind of days. There's not a heaping mass of just big time stories in sports right now. So we're going to get a little off the rails today, but we are going to start
not a heaping mass, but a big dumper.
That's true. And that's what we'll get to here in just a second. But the Portland Trailblazers off last night. Tonight they play the Cleveland Cavaliers and it might not matter. So the math is, after last night, with both the Phoenix Suns and Dallas Mavericks winning, Anthony Davis did make his return for the Dallas Mavericks last night. 26 minutes, 12 points, 6 rebounds. Not huge, but look, he's a great player, and just adding a great player alone will help you beat the Nets. And the Phoenix Suns are able to win at the near buzzer. Devin Booker hitting a pull-up jumper to give him a 2-point lead. The Bucks run something, I don't even know, it turns into an 18-foot baseline fadeaway for Brook Lopez to potentially tie the game.
Exactly how they drew it up.
And this is what not having Damian Lillard kind of does to you, is you don't have another creator on the floor, as great as Giannis is. No Chris Middleton, no Damian Lillard. It gets a little thin there, particularly in the late-game execution, as it were. But the Suns win, and the Mavs win. And now the Blazers, Suns, and Mavs all have 10 games remaining. So this is where the math is starting to math very clearly. Because when it's half games and games played, the one thing that I have always said is that you have to look at the loss column. You can make up wins. You can't make up losses.
Right.
So the Blazers have 40 losses. The Mavs and the Suns both have 37. So therefore, because the Blazers do not own a tiebreaker with either the Mavs or the Suns, or a three-way tiebreaker if all three teams end up tied, it means the Blazers, if for whatever games, because the Blazers have to be finished ahead of both teams. So whatever it is that those teams win, the Blazers have to win that many games plus four. So we're going algebra here. If the Dallas and Phoenix win X, the Blazers have to win X plus four. That is the math. So, as we said yesterday, if the Suns and the Mavs both win four games, that means in the final 10 games, the Blazers have to go 8-2.
It's not going to happen. Like, unfortunately, coming in, we talked about this yesterday, but when I came in, I was really excited because I didn't look at it in the losses category. You look at the wins when you're excited. You're looking at glass half full. You're like, oh, right there, three games, just got to win three. And once you break down the math, it's like, oh, yeah, they're not making it. And that's probably what's best for the Blazers. And then you have to just kind of hope now that, hey, wherever you pick the right player, but also that maybe you get a little lottery ball luck. I mean, the year that you jumped all the way up to one, now you're probably not going to jump all the way up to one.
The Odin Lottery, they had a 5.2% chance of the number one overall pick, if I remember right.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah. And look, to be blunt, and this isn't anything out of the realm of, yeah, no kidding. If they win the lottery, the Blazers jump into not title contention, but really being like, you add Cooper Flagg to this team and your team is built around Tumani Kamara, Cooper Flagg, Denny Avdia.
It's pretty good.
You have got three demons that are 6'7.5", 6'9", and 6'9".
Right.
I mean, it is what it is. Like,
but that's probably not going to happen.
It's probably not going to happen. But if they do fall back to the eighth best lottery odds, you basically have a 25% chance of jumping into the top four.
And that's huge, because right now when you look at this draft, who does that get them? Because you've got Cooper Flagg's probably one.
Cooper's
and
one.
And then you've got
Dylan
the two
Harper,
Rutgers kids going, oh, they're saying
VJ Edgecombe is ahead.
Bailey's
of,
falling out.
Yeah.
But so
don't get me wrong, he still has plenty of supporters, but I would say that the consensus right now is that Edgecombe is three.
Okay, but then as a Blazer fan, they wouldn't take Edgecombe, or they wouldn't take Bailey.
Well, no, I think if you're taking the biggest swing, which has kind of been the moniker for this front office, I think they would look at a 6'10 ace Bailey and go,
oh, okay,
if he can be something. But again, if you're talking about what this front office and what this team and what this organization has prioritized, it is a particular profile.
You now, want long.
Scoot notwithstanding, they just thought Scoot was the best player in at that draft slot. Hmm. And I think it's very much a, who is the best player at that draft slot? And if all things are equal, which way do you go? Like in Scoot's draft, for instance, I think they had Scoot and Miller on the same level. And I think that it had all things, had Charlotte taken Scoot at two, the Blazers would have taken Miller at three.
And I remember around that time, Miller coming on late, strong. Everyone was really excited about it. You were really excited about him because all we had heard was Scoot would be the number one pick in every other draft. Mm-hmm. Scoot would be number one. Scoot would be number one. Scoot would be number one.
And I had
one.
Miller number two on my board. And it's not a shot at Scoot. It's just the one if I have guys on the same level.
Which one's taller? Which one's longer?
Yeah, like what's the thing that you can't coach? Size. And so that's always kind of been my MO with stuff. But as it pertains to the Blazers right now, if they go 8-2 in the next 10 games, they have maybe a puncher's chance. Because the Dallas Mavericks have probably the easiest schedule in the Western Conference remaining, where the Suns have the most difficult schedule in the NBA. Yeah. So, but you have to pass both teams.
You have to pass them and the Mavs. The Mavs' schedule is going to be interesting, but it's not as difficult as the Suns.
It's incredibly easy when compared to the Suns. But
the other thing, too,
you have to pass both teams.
Well, and the Blazers, the schedule isn't insanely difficult, but it's not easy either. You play six out of your final 10 games on the road. Five of them in a row.
Yeah.
Like, how often do we see a team after, you know, they're on game five of a five-game road?
And you
roadie,
go across the country twice.
And they lose. Well, and the other thing, too,
winning on the road is hard.
Look, man. You're going to hit a certain point, too, where, hey, where does it need to go for the team, too? And the writing will be on the wall. Right now, you have a chip in the chair. So you're saying there's a chance. Yeah, there's a chance. But where does it more likely end for you? And so, to be honest with you, that's why I'm starting to look at NBA drafts.
Yeah, nope,
I'm looking at mock drafts.
Look, I've already started writing up my first previews, and obviously a lot is going to change on May 12th when the lottery does hit. But I'm going to start pumping that stuff out here relatively soon, and maybe we'll talk about that. Maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow. The Ringer has already released their lottery draft preview, and just kind of get a little bit of an understanding, because we have a general idea of where the Blazers will fall as it pertains to the pre-odds draft, but pre-odds lottery, and we'll dive into that today, maybe tomorrow. Depends on how things goes. But coming up next, the Seattle Mariners have inked the big dumper for the long haul. We'll dive into the importance of the Mariners actually spending money and more. But first, just the Big Kuna Sports Center update. There's a big old dump in Seattle. The biggest, in fact. The big dumper. Cal Raleigh has inked a big-time deal with the Seattle Mariners. The Mariners spending some money, it appears, finalizing a six-year, $105 million deal, according to Jeff Passan of ESPN. Deal starts this season and buys out 3 years of free agency. But the franchise centerpiece outside of the pitching staff...
And Julio. I would say Julio. Julio's
but
your
he's
main
already,
guy.
He's already taken care of.
Yeah, you took care of him right away. I'll tell you what. For a franchise that's made it clear like they are not going to spend money unless they absolutely have to, I'm a little bit surprised that they were willing to go and get this done, but I'm incredibly thankful, because you would have seen a revolt. Cal Raleigh is the leader of that
team. He's beloved.
Julio is the best player on that team, or you could say Gilbert, or you could say Kirby, but Raleigh, he tells it like it is. He's not afraid to call out people when they need to get called out. He is not afraid to say something that's going to anger those in the organization, but it's what fans were saying already, right? So the fact that the Mariners put it all aside, they sign him, he's already a Gold Glove catcher. He's been absolutely fantastic at the plate. When you need a big clutch hit over the past 3 or 4 years, it feels like it's been Cal Raleigh every single time. I love that they went out and did it. And hopefully, too, as you get the younger catcher that's coming up through the minors, the Ford kid, hopefully you're able to then move Raleigh to that DH spot and finally have some stabilization there. Like, I know that they went with Rowdy Tellers this year, and it sounds like he's going to be the DH, at least moving forward. But at some point, you're going to want to make sure that you can keep Cal Raleigh's bat in the lineup while getting that younger player up and getting him some playing time.
So, because it's my want to get nerdy on it here real quick, Cal Raleigh last year, MLB percentiles among catchers, 98th percentile in fielding run value. 98th percentile in fielding run value.
Meaning
he saves you runs at an extremely high level. He's the best defensive catcher in baseball in the sense of run value saved, and he's one of the best.
He's great at pitch framing.
He's the best pitch framer in baseball. That's like, yep. He's 98th percentile. He's he is that guy. We were talking pre-show. I'm a big-time Cardinals fan. You know, the Cardinals had, 18 years of Yadier Molina. To me, Yadier Molina is the best defensive catcher in baseball history.
Yeah.
It was a different era, and you didn't steal, but you didn't even dare steal on Yadi. You didn't even think about it.
Right.
And as a framer, he was incredible. Nothing got by him. He was un-freaking believable.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to Cal Raleigh, here's where it gets crazy. Is on the batting. His X slugging, 88th percentile. Average exit velocity, 78th percentile. Barrel percentage, 96th percentile.
They just threw up a stat on MLB Network that I was watching. He has 91 home runs as a catcher since 2022. The next closest, 73.
Yeah.
There is no better batting catcher in the league right now than Cal Raleigh, at least when it comes to home runs.
And give it some time, and you're going to see a certain Orioles catcher probably.
Yes.
Flying up that list.
There's a certain Sherwood catcher that is a stud, and I'm not downplaying
any Adley's probably the second best catcher in baseball right now.
Well, I mean, look at Cal Raleigh. He got the platinum glove this last year. Not only was he the gold glove, he got platinum glove for being the best defensive player in any position in the league. The Mariners had to pay him.
Yes.
He was the leader.
You could make an excuse for all the other guys that they've lost over the last 2-3 years, the Teoscars of the world.
Not good excuses, but they're there.
Yeah, no, so
they're
like,
there.
Again, like not keeping Teoscar, and for what he took to go to the Dodgers is still one of like the crazier things to me. It's like, you wouldn't give the guy $7 million?
Well, the other thing with him, too, is he wanted to leave.
I mean,
for whatever reason, and I've been to Safeco, T-Mobile now, when you're down there at field level, it's crooked. The batter's eye is crooked.
Mm.
And you can tell. And I don't know how much that truly affects one's ability to hit. I'll tell you right now, it would not have made mine better or worse. I cannot hit at all. But it is an issue, it sounds like, for a lot of right-handed batters and left-handed batters. And that's why a lot of those players don't go to Seattle.
That and
cheap.
I think that's more important because I think you can overcome that
cheap
with a little bit extra.
Cheap.
And that's, you know, you look, man, like when you talk about ownership, that's one of those things that I will just hammer that home over and over and over again. Speaking of ownership, the Portland Trailblazers over the last couple of years have made a move to bring more alumni back to the team and to the organization, to the community, because it was something they lost just incredible sight of. It's something that they did not do well for a very long time. And Joe Cronin, Chauncey Billups, and Dwayne Hankins, obviously the general manager, head coach, and president of business operations for the Trailblazers, have made a concerted effort to address that over the last couple of years, bringing back Greg Oden, bringing back mm-hmm. Brandon Roy, bringing more alumni around the organization. And the other night, they brought in members of the finals run teams in 90 and 92.
Mm-hmm.
There was one guy missing, Clyde Drexler. Kerry Eggers, a longtime beat reporter, covered the Blazers forever and knows those era guys very well. Talked to Clyde Drexler about why he wasn't there the other night, and I don't know if I believe it. We'll get to that next year on Danny and Dusty, Tenny the Fan. The Portland Trail Blazers brought back a lot of their most prestigious alumni from one of their best periods of basketball, the 90-92 two-era teams. And, you know, in that group, you had, if they are still with us, unfortunately, those era teams have lost four players. Mm-hmm. Rick Adelman was there, and he's been brought back into the fold. That started last year when they had Rick Adelman night when the Denver Nuggets came to town because his son, David Adelman, formerly of Lincoln High School, but also on the now Denver Nuggets coaching staff. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal for them. And it was a fun little line if one of the media members asked Rick pregame, will you cheer for the Blazers tonight? He goes, pregame, I will. Afterwards, absolutely not.
Well,
it's my son.
Yeah, of course.
But it was in a world of like such political answers, it was super cool for Adam to be like, it's my son, man. No.
It would have been really funny if he did the old, like, I'd really like them to tie.
Yeah. But no, I like to see the loyalty just like you're there.
Right.
Obviously, Terry Porter is there. Unfortunately, you know, Jerome and Duck and Cliff. No longer with us. Members of their family were there. Cliff Robinson's twin sons were there in his place. I thought it was really, really, really cool that they brought in family members to represent those guys. But the biggest, most popular, most famous, most, you know, arguably the greatest player in franchise history, Clyde Drexler, was not present. And it was not lost on a lot of people. And Kerry Eggers, who's got his own website up, kerryeggers.com, has a story up right now. Why didn't Clyde Drexler attend the celebration? And he had his reasons. First and foremost, his wife has been going through cancer.
Yeah, and it sounds like she's
doing better.
Recovering
well.
Yes. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn.
But, no.
From reading the story, it sounds like she's on the mend.
All reports that I have heard that things are going great. And we love to hear that. In this, Kerry Eggers talked to Clyde Drexler because he has that relationship from covering the team during that period.
Mm.
And he says that Clyde told him that Terry Porter called him a couple months ago and told me to think about doing this reunion event. I told him about Tanya, his wife's situation, but said, as it gets closer, let me know. Clyde then told Kerry that he didn't know the date of the event until I called him on Tuesday. And, Kerry reached out to the Trailblazers, and he says, a Trailblazer official told me that Drexler was extended an official invitation with a date well ahead of time, though when I asked, he wasn't sure how the message was delivered, whether it was by mail, email, text, or phone call. It does seem hard to believe the Blazers wouldn't have made sure the poster guy from that era, arguably the greatest player in franchise history, was invited. Still, that is what Clyde told me. And that's from Kerry Eggers. There is a sordid history here.
And I don't think, even like as someone growing up in the area, that I realized how sordid it truly is.
So, these are, again, these are Clyde's words from Kerry Eggers' article. They dropped the ball. but they have dropped many balls. Mm-hmm. Again, this is straight from Kerry's website here again, kerryeggers.com. Go there, read it. I don't want to take everything from it, but I just want to take a couple paragraphs and just set the table here. Drexler has antipathy for at least a couple of aspects of the Blazers organization. For one, he believes executives have paid little attention to the franchise's former players over the years. He's not the only former Blazer to feel that way. I have talked to former Blazers from that era, and it's yes. I will say clearly and totally, the Blazers dropped the ball for a long period of time. Terry Port TP was like one of the only guys that you saw around. Maurice Lucas, when he was still around, was also still around the organization, as well as the work that his son David now does as part of the Lucas Foundation efforts also continues strong. But you didn't see those guys when they are around. You know, you didn't see Doc. You didn't see Cliff. You didn't see Buck. You didn't, like, TP was like one of the only guys that you see. When I did Outsiders, during the playoffs, we brought in Darnell Valentine, who was in an era before that, but he was another guy that, you know, if you ever get a chance to meet Darnell, incredible human, love talking to him, but there's just not a lot of guys, you know, and it sucks because that era was, I mean, you're talking about, you know, the true dyed in the wool Rip City era that took off after the 77 title team and was the next most successful part of the franchise. I mean, there were stretches where that team was the second best team in basketball for probably about 4 years. And they just came up short, unfortunately. I mean, they had two finals appearances against the Detroit Bad Boys and against Jordan's Bulls.
Right.
Like that's who they lost to.
You lost to two of the better dynasties of
ever.
NBA.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I was going to say of that era, and then it's like, it's NBA.
You could say
it's
ever.
It's NBA. I mean, like, that Pistons team literally beat Boston Celtics
and
Lakers and the Bulls. Yeah. All to win those titles. Like, you just...
They went through the gauntlet.
Unfortunately, you were always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
And the same thing happened with the 99-2000 team when they went up against the Lakers. It was the two best teams of basketball was...
Right.
Were the Blazers and Lakers. That Western Conference Finals was the finals, as it were, as it pertained to the two best teams in basketball. But those... You don't see a lot of those guys... Like, do you see Rasheed around? Do you see Damian around? Do you see Steve around? Do you see Scotty around?
Never.
I mean, obviously, Arvidas.
I don't know
is,
that you want Scotty around.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean. Like,
yes.
Arvidas is in Lithuania, so, you know, you don't see him around very often, but, you know, it's tough.
I think from a younger fan's perspective, coming through with a team that, like, I obviously not alive for those teams, right? I think that's why there's a lot of anger and animosity too, I think, from a younger fan's perspective, because the fans of my age, the new generation, the Gen Z that are coming up, it's Dame and then some of the older crew like me, it's B-Roy and LaMarcus.
Yes.
Right? Like, we remember those. Those are our favorites. But how often even is Brandon Roy around?
And
I know LaMarcus just retired.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not around.
There are efforts being made to bring him back in the fold.
And hopefully that they do for both of them, because that's a key to teach the future generation of fans.
The history of the community it matters.
Look at what we did for, or look at what these players did for this community, right? But I also think that it can be a good thing, because NBA players, past and present, they all talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if you treat them the correct way, it's possible that maybe down the line, hey, there's a role player that had a connection because they played with Jace Richardson at Michigan State or whatever. Or they know Jace.
They
from
take care of you.
AAU. Like, and they're going to take care of you. They're going to have you back. They're going to have the statue. When you leave, they're going to have the tribute video for you. We all make fun of it. We all think it's stupid, but it's nice to be remembered
and to be treated right. And it matters. And I don't mean that in a negative connotation. Like, look, I'm a fan of one of the most dysfunctional organizations in the NFL.
Right.
Guess what? Once a Raider.
Always a Raider. And they take care of you.
Every single one of them.
And people always talk in NFL circles about how it is truly special to be a Raider, even when they suck.
Does not matter.
Even when they suck.
Look at John Gruden and what he went through from his own doing.
Twice a Raider.
Watch him when he talks about the Raiders. He won a Super Bowl with the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
He got traded from the Raiders.
He is a Raider through and through because of the relationship they make. And that's this is where this starts to deviate, right? The part of this that Clyde says is the problem was one ownership with Paul Allen, but Burt Cold, who is the vice chair of Vulcan and, you know, helps Jody Allen run the Trailblazers right now. And basically he lays everything at the feet of Burt Cold. And this is the part of this. And Clyde says he has no bone to pick with Cronin, who's been the Blazers GM for the last 3.5 years. And he flat out says, I've had conversations with Joe, and he seems to be a nice guy, but he can only do so much. Until the franchise is sold and they get rid of Burt Cold, they will struggle. And that's where it's like, okay, this feels like an axe being grinded. Clyde wants to have, look, I love Clyde. Clyde is literally the reason I started watching the Blazers when I lived in LA. I've mentioned this before. First ever basketball game I went to was Blazers Lakers at a Lakers game growing up in LA at the Forum. Mm-hmm. I just happened to move to Portland 2 years later. Okay, it's just literally a coin toss. My family's going to move to Dallas or to Portland. And we ended up going to Portland. Okay. But that was my favorite team because I watched Clyde play. This feels like ego because his coach got fired. Rick Adelman got fired and he demanded a trade.
It didn't end well.
Back to Houston. It got nasty. And it's like, I get it, Clyde. You want to come back. But if you're sitting here waiting for the organization to be sold on your terms, then it's not about the fans. It's not about the community. It's about you. Mm-hmm. And I love Clyde. You've got a street named after you. You'll probably have a statue built out there when they head down that path. But at some point in time, man, swallow the pride and get it done. If you want to come back, come back. If not, stop. Stop this. Stop with the whole jilted lover thing. You wanted to go to Houston. We all know that. You're from Houston. You were on TV post-career for the Houston Rockets. You played for Houston at Phi Slamma Jamma. Houston is your home. That's cool, man. Mm. I'm okay with that. But you don't get to have it both ways. Either come back or don't. Don't sit there like, well, it's because of this. Do you want to come back? Then come back. Swallow your pride and come back.
Well, and he's going to want to do it the other way. He wants to be, and this is a thing that a lot of people do now, is he wants, the victim is the wrong word, but he wants to be the one that is viewed as the wronged party.
Yes. And if you want to come back, though, who knows when the team's going to be sold? And look, this is the dark side of this. Hmm. We've already mentioned there's four guys from that era gone. Do you want to come back before something happens?
Unfortunately, that might be the only way. How often do you see that in just real life?
Thankfully, Bill Walton and the Blazers reconciled.
Yeah.
And Bill had real beef because fair. Of the way his injuries were handled.
Real fair beef.
Yes. And Bill came back. So figure it out, dude. Like I want him back. This is not a, like, dismiss Clyde Drexler. He is on the Mount Rushmore of greatest Trailblazers. There's no doubt about it. None. You cannot tell the history, the story of the Portland Trailblazers without Clyde Drexler. He is one of the tentpole players, figures of this franchise's history. I want him back in the fold, and I want a statue in Rose Quarter for him. Him, Dame, Bill, Sean Lee. Those are the four.
That might be the only way you get him back.
But let's say that Jody Allen and Burt Cole build it. Is he going to come back? And if he's holding that over their head, man, I can't believe you then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's either you do or you don't.
You want to come back on your own terms, and in your own terms, you should have a statue. Because he doesn't have one in Houston, correct?
I don't know.
Maybe at the college?
Yeah, Phi Slamma Jamma, they're...
For sure.
They're gods there.
For sure. But, so maybe that's what it is, and he wants it. He wants that statue. Because, like, think about it. All the other... When you talk about all the other organizations in basketball, they have the statue. Hey, you are the best player in the organization's history. But you have the statue, yeah. Right? even if it looks like Ronaldo's, yeah. you have the statue. And so maybe that's a part of it for him, where he feels like his ego is hurt and he shouldn't have to come back until he is given that statue. Because, I mean, at one point you have to look at him and, like, if he's not the best player in Blazers history, he's the second.
Yeah. So I just thought it was interesting. This is the last line I'll go, and we'll get into the next segment here. This is from Terry Porter. Clyde hasn't been back here in a long time. Everybody has tried to get him to come, but he has some feelings about people in the organization. I think that tells you everything you need to know. All right, coming up next, we're starting to get some clarity as it pertains to the NFL draft and which way the Tennessee Titans may go with their number one overall pick. We'll get that and more here now. Number two, Danny and Dusty, Tenney the Fan.